Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome again to the Steve Jones Show. Steve joining us from the Sunbury Motors Studio. In just a few short moments. Last night, the All-Star Game. Tonight, the most boring day of the year in sports. There is absolutely nothing going on in the way of professional sports, with the exception of something I stumbled across the other day. In Canton, Ohio, they're actually playing international football. I saw the U.S. and Japan for a few minutes. So that might be an interesting substitute for the day. There's a little cricket going on in the southern hemisphere. So maybe you could find that on your internet connection or on your smart TV. That's an option. You have the NBA Summer League that is going on right now. That's a possibility. So it's not like there's absolutely positively nothing going on in the world of sports. It's just nothing major right now. And the Canadian Football League doesn't even start back up for another week of play until, let's see, is there a game tomorrow? I know there's one. I know there's games on Friday and Saturday. Might be a Thursday night game that you might be able to sneak into. So we can also talk about the four players picked as the greatest living baseball players. Saw that last night on the All-Star Game. So if you'd like to chat about that, we'll open up the phones to do that at 800-795-9565. And we'll do that in a few moments, 800-795-9565. If you'd like to talk about the All-Star Game as well, sure, we could do that. As I said yesterday, I thought it was extremely interesting that the All-Star Game played at a National League ballpark had the DH. Is that a step to making the DH permanent in Major League Baseball? And, of course, we know where Steve stands on that. He's said that many times. I've always been a traditionalist, but in the last 5 to 6 years, my thought has changed. And maybe it's because of Steve convincing me. I don't know. I have to admit, I've never gotten excited when the 8-9 slot came up in the batting order, whether I'm watching it in person or whether I'm watching it on TV. I mean, usually the 8-9 is, for years it had been a shortstop or maybe even a second baseman, and then the pitcher. And it's almost like there's your two worst hitters, and in the majors, some of your eight hitters could be, maybe 220 hitters. And then you got your pitcher coming in at, whatever. And it's a guaranteed bunt if there's a runner on, and everybody knows it. See, it's not like it is in the youth leagues and in high school where the bunt is actually an interesting thing and anybody could lay one down at any time. You don't see a bunt other than a pitcher very often in Major League Baseball. And I wonder if there's two reasons I'm thinking because of that. You can get your thoughts on that, and we'll chat with Steve about it as well. My first thought is that the reason the bunt is not used very often in baseball is because the fielders, are just that good at getting to it, that it doesn't often become more of a move the base runner around, and there's not really much of a chance of actually getting another runner on base. When you get down into the high school level or the college level or even youth, the bunt is a whole different thing. You can use the bunt as a way to get on base a lot of times if you have a quick player. But in Major League Baseball, the bunt we're only seeing used by pitchers. Rarely do we see anybody outside of a pitcher use it. Is it because that the players are that much better at playing the bunt and fielding it? Or is it because they just don't know how to do it? somewhere along the line, they lost the art of the bunt. I think it's a combination of the two. I think the players are definitely better at it, at fielding it. Whereas when you play it in the lower levels in college or even high school, you know, there's more of a chance that you're going to get a bunt single out of it than just moving around a runner. But I think in the majors, I just don't think they're practicing anything with laying down a bunt. When was the last time you saw somebody above 7 in the batting lineup lay down a bunt? Think about that. When was the last time you saw somebody over the number 7 slot in the batting order lay down a bunt? And the suicide squeeze, oh, that's gone. I don't think I've seen one of those in 3 or 4 years. Now, there might have been one that I missed. But the suicide squeeze, that's another lost art in baseball. So we can talk about that today, as well as some of the top players of each team as released through the All-Stars festivities. That's all coming up here on the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Forget somebody?
I forgot to bring you along for the show.
Yeah. I've been sitting here since 2:55.
You know, I was prepared to have a lot of fun today. I mean, I thought, wow, this is great. It's now the Kevin Hurst Show. We've had a little coup.
That would have lasted 24 hours. All right.
It would have been a fun 24 hours, though.
Yeah, I listened to the topics you brought up. Most of them are junk. We'll move on.
So great to be here.
Okay, let's in order. Kevin sent me 4 topics. Fine, let's just get them out of the way.
Great.
Why didn't Papelbon pitch last night? All right, it's actually very, very simple. Each manager pulls 2 pitchers aside before the game. And especially when you're the home team, one is a starting pitcher and one is a closer. And they will tell them that if the game goes to extra innings, I'm going to need you to pitch. I'm going to need you to close if the game's in extra innings. Papelbon was the designated closer last night if they went to extra innings. So say, for example, the game is tied. They go to the 10th inning. They probably would have brought A.J. Burnett in. He was the designated starter. That was not the one, you notice he didn't pitch last night. He was, okay, look, AJ, go out. If you can give us 3 innings, that'd be great. We need you to pitch the 10th, 11th, and 12th, unless we take the lead. And if we take the lead, then they're going to look at Papelbon and they're going to say, look, you're going to be the closer at that point. Right? That's what they do. They save 2 pitchers out in case the game goes extra innings. That's why Papelbon didn't pitch last night. Okay, that took a long time. You okay?
I'm good. I'm just listening intently.
Yeah, well, that's why. And the same thing. For example, Chris Sale. Chris Sale did not pitch for the American League last night. His manager, Robin Ventura, said, look, he's starting Friday. If you could hold him out, that'd be great. If you need him in extra innings, then designate him as the extra innings pitcher.
It just stunk because he was the only Philly there.
Yeah, but that's the way it goes. I mean, A.J. Burnett, it's the first time in his life he's been in the All-Star game. Okay? It's the only time in his career he's been in the All-Star game. And he didn't pitch last night. I mean, Papelbon's pitched in the All-Star game before. But A.J. Burnett had never been selected before. Well, he was the guy that was the designated extra innings pitcher last night. So, I mean, all the position players played, but you have to put in contingencies for extra innings, and that's one of the contingencies that each manager has to have, and they have to sit down, and they try to do it maybe in conjunction with the other managers as to where they fall in their respective rotations and so forth. So Burnett was the designated guy that goes extra innings, and Papelbon was the designated closer.
Wouldn't it be a better idea, though, to bring a guy back, allow a return of a pitcher earlier in the game? At least Kevin, that way fans get a chance to see their players.
But No, Kevin, you can't do that. No pitcher comes back. Okay? They're, you know, the only time they ever come back is after a rain delay.
You've pitched in an inning.
Sit back and say, hey, we're...
Can't you go down to the bullpen, throw a couple, and all of a sudden, okay, I'm ready. You've pitched what?
Kevin,
some guys have pitched 15 pitches.
Kevin, it's a meaningless exhibition game.
Yeah, where my favorite team had no player in it.
Well, you know what? To be frank with you, you didn't deserve to have any players in it.
Well, I'm not going to argue that.
Bad.
I'm not going to argue that.
If the rules were normal, they were going to put the best 33 players on each team. I mean, there'd be some franchises that wouldn't have anybody in
the game.
That's
very true. Yes.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. State College, the entire summer of 2009. Was an all-star here and one of the really great guys. Got to know him, know his family, and I was thrilled for him. But in reality, did the Red Sox deserve to have an all-star participant? Not really. But everybody has to have one. And so, managers have to do things in certain ways. You can't look at Clayton Kershaw and say, hey, by the way, I know you pitched the fifth inning. I need you in the 12th. You can't do that.
What about
that's not normal?
What
that's
about
not
position
normal.
Players?
I mean, position players are a little bit different. I think they have changed that rule, haven't they? That you can now in the All-Star game bring them back if need be in extra innings.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think they've changed that rule. I think if somebody gets hurt, and that's in case of injury, because all the position players did play in last night's game on both teams. They all got in. I think if somebody gets hurt, you are allowed to bring a position player back in the All-Star game. I think they changed that rule 2 years ago. Pitchers, you can't do that. The rule doesn't involve them. And, B, it is illogical to do that because they're never asked to do that. You never ask players to do something that they would not be asked to do in the regular season. And not only that, if I were manager of a pitcher that was brought back into the game and I was the general manager – and the pitching coach of that team, I'd be furious beyond words. Friday means more than Tuesday. You know, and there's got to be some sort of realization that the All-Star game, I watched almost all of it. I thought it was fun. And I thought it was a great showcase for the game. That's what it is, a great showcase for the game. And I know the Phillies didn't get their participant into the game. But you know what? That's the way it goes. I mean, that's the way it goes. So that's one. Nike has a new clothing deal with Michigan. That means now instead of seeing an Adidas logo on the front, you'll now see a swoosh. All right, that one's done.
Well, wait, I want to take that one step further now. We're starting to
actually,
see...
Actually, Nike, Michigan is bolder with what they do than, for example, Penn State with their Nike deal. We know what Penn State is relatively conservative with their Nike deal and so forth. Michigan will do alternative uniforms. Michigan will do the uniforms they wore for the Penn State game last year had reflective striping across the numbers because it was a night game. Michigan's been willing to do that for a while. Nike will be able to do certain things with Michigan that they probably won't do, would not do with Penn State. So that's and it just means more money.
My question for you, though, is with colleges doing this at all levels, how, and of course the NFL's done this at the professional level for years, how long before we start to see it go down to a smaller level? I mean, we're already seeing the PIAA sanctioning the official that there's one type of football you can use during the season. How much before these high schools start to sit back and go, you know what, maybe there's an opportunity for us here to not have to buy uniforms every year and...
Zero. Okay? The second you can have 111,000 people watching a high school game, they'll do it.
It's just the numbers thing. All right. What about if it's by the state, though?
Well,
what if it, because like right now, at PIAA, you have to use a certain football all through the state. What if they do it at the state level? How soon is that a possibility?
No. Look, when Penn State plays, Penn State has Nike uniforms. And, of course, the key for Penn State and Michigan and so forth is that when they do the Nike contracts, they use football and basketball to get uniforms for everybody, for the volleyball team, the soccer team, the softball team, the baseball team, all of them. Okay, I remember when Penn State was a club hockey team, Joe Paterno, in negotiating the Nike deal, he did this himself, got the hockey team of the ACHA, which is what they were in at the time. And that's how they were able to do it, because they did it in conjunction with the football deal. Football and men's basketball allow this to happen, where the money comes in and the uniforms are bought, because you're going to have that uniform displayed before 107,000 fans. You're going to have that uniform displayed with the swoosh on it before a national television audience. Sometimes it's the Big Ten Network, sometimes it's ESPN, sometimes it's ABC, right? In basketball, sometimes it'll be CBS or Turner. And you're going to have that swoosh displayed on national TV for millions to see. You're not going to see that when Shikellamy plays Selins Grove.
Oh, I agree with you. I don't think there's going to be a situation where there's going to be a contract and money exchange. Right. I'm just saying, an organization like a PIAA come up and say, hey, we'd like you to supply our teams with uniforms, and here's what we're going to give you in response?
No. No. I don't think that's going to happen. The only way it can happen would be high-profile high schools that will play in that Friday night game on ESPN.
Right.
Or for example, like take the Under Armour All-Star game, where obviously all the players are wearing Under Armour uniforms and Under Armour is sponsoring the game. That's the kind of high school situation you'll see it in. You're not going to see it anywhere else. You're not going to see it in any kind of lower level high school, quad A high school football. None of that is going to happen, because for Nike, it's not worth it to do. I mean, where is it worth it? It has to be worth it for the company to do it. So, you know, I think Bucknell is Adidas, if I'm correct.
They are, yes.
Right? Yeah, Bucknell is Adidas. Well, it's worth it to them because they know there's going to be a few thousand people, and Bucknell's going to be on TV once in a while on CBS Sportsnet. It has to be worth it for Reebok. Has to be worth it for Nike. Has to be worth it for Adidas, where they feel like they're getting the advertising bump out of it just by literally wearing the jersey. Now, schools have done a great job of negotiating this down to the point where there are other teams that don't draw as many fans, they'll still get uniforms, because they know darn well that when Penn State runs onto the field and there are 107,000 people and they see the jerseys in the gift shop and they see the jerseys on TV, the swoosh is prominently displayed, you're getting a three-hour advertisement every single time. That's what it comes down to. Let's see. The one I really like above all is the Franchise Four. We'll talk a lot about that. Joe Putnam on Minor League Baseball. Ryan Snyder today on recruiting from Blue White Illustrated. Bottom of the hour, time for news on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywoods 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And Kevin is driving a 2016 this week.
Yeah, this week we're featuring the 2016 Ford Explorer XLT. The XLT comes standard with front-wheel drive, but it is available in four-wheel drive. The 3.5 V6 engine, 6-speed select-shift automatic transmission is standard, but you can also choose the 2.3 EcoBoost 4 engine that also has the select-shift automatic transmission. You can find the four-wheel drive available in intelligent four-wheel drive, so it will actually tell you when it needs to be in four-wheel drive. Four-wheel drive, by the way, has the standard 18-inch five-spoke aluminum wheels. Yes. What?
It's like 7 or 8 really great lines I could use right now. I will reel them in.
I'm sure you do.
Dealing with you and a car.
I'm sure you do.
Kevin Herr continues with the Sunbury Motors ad.
This also has a massager available in the seats, in the driver's
Again,
seat, as the, well as the passenger seat.
Different lines I have for this one.
No denying that. I figured the door would be open, but I just decided to use it anyway. So find out more about this fantastic vehicle, and you can actually see why you'll want to step inside, drive it as quickly as possible when you see it on the lot at Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury. It's available not only in the XLT, but the base model, limited, sport, and the brand new Platinum Edition. And you can guess that the Platinum Edition has everything you'll ever want in a vehicle and more. Check it out, Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury. You can see the vehicle online from my Facebook page, at Kevin Herr on Twitter, and at sunburymotors.com.
All right. The ballpark walls, like you see anywhere now, I don't care if it's Major League Baseball, hockey, you see advertisements everywhere now. And, for example, like here, the old big boy restaurants. Remember the old big boy restaurants? Well, they had like several different names for them. It used to be Elby's was one in Pennsylvania. Down here, they're called Shoney's. They still have Shoney's here. They have up on the wall. To my left, in left field, they have something called Anderson Excavating. This ballpark is cut out of a mountain. And all around me are mountains.
You're in West Virginia, right?
Yes, Anderson Excavating must make a ton of money around here because that's the only way you can build anything is excavate.
You haven't seen any of the guys from the Cole series that was on, I think, A&E a few years ago, did you?
No, I got here, went past the Walmart, and pulled in. So, as you know, I waste no time. I'll find a golf course tomorrow morning. We'll go from there.
That was going to be the next question. Have you found the golf course yet?
I will tomorrow. I'll play tomorrow and Friday. And but minor league baseball has now become a great business. People's Natural Gas Field in Altoona, I think, set the tone for a lot of the ballparks in our state now. They've done a great job down at Reading, the way they've renovated that field. And tremendous. You look at the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. That ballpark is spectacular. Medlar Field, LeBronnell Park, outstanding. And they did great renovations on PNC Field at Lackawanna County Ballpark in Scranton-Wilkes-Barre up in Moosic. I mean, minor league ballparks are different. In the old days, you had more and more ballparks, such as in Oneonta, Geneva, still existing in Auburn, Utica. And this franchise here in West Virginia was in Jamestown for many, many years. The Jamestown Ballpark was built in 1939. 1939, that park was built. Now, they did the best they could with it, all right? But you go to a place like this, seats 3,500, all chair backs, party deck down the right field line, great facility. Medlar Field, LeBronnell Park, I don't care if you've been there for a Spikes game, a Penn State game, or the PIAA playoffs. Awesome, awesome facility. Well, that's the trend in today's ballparks. When we bring in Joe Putnam from the State College Spikes. And, Joe, I mean, that's the trend we've seen over and over again, where they have changed the dynamics of minor league baseball with the ballparks that they have right now.
Well, really, I think what you're seeing now is you're seeing the new ballparks put into markets that basically the amenities that are offered at these parks are equivalent and sometimes even superior to major league ballparks. I mean, the major league parks can fit more people, but, you know, you come out to Medlar Field at LeBronno Park, 5,570 folks can fit in comfortably and also enjoy a great experience, enjoy some great food, and really things that were state-of-the-art at the time the ballpark was built and 10 seasons on, I think, are still very much there at the top of minor league baseball. And so I think that's what people are starting to get. Even down there in West Virginia, the organization really has not changed much from the days in Jamestown, New York. The people haven't changed. They're more or less the same, but at the same time, the facilities have undergone a massive upgrade in a new market that's been hungering for baseball in the summertime for a while now, and so I think that's what we're seeing, is that we're seeing that the upgrade in facilities, the upgrade in just the overall presentation is there. And really, that what it's making is ballparks like Williamsport, Vermont, Batavia, Auburn, in some respects archaic, but on the other hand, it does offer, you know, that sort of alternative to the new wave of baseball. And I think that's what the New York Penn League does well, bringing the old together with the new.
Well, when you look at the new ballparks, especially in Pennsylvania, a lot of it began with People's Natural Gas Field in Altoona. We always have to get credit for how outstanding that park happens to be and how it set the tone for a lot of other parks in the state. Penn State has, of course, the agreement with the Spikes. Nebraska has that kind of agreement. They now have one like that here at West Virginia. How well does that partnership work, and what does it mean for both sides? Because, Joe, you're there every day with it.
Certainly. It's a tremendous partnership, very much mutually beneficial for both sides. You know, with Rob Cooper and his staff are always great to work with during Penn State baseball season, even here during the summer. Coach Cooper, very much supportive of the Spikes. He's one of our biggest fans, and it's great to see him and his sons at the ballpark. And really, likewise, with us, seeing the success that Penn State baseball has had and the increasing amount of success that the Nittany Lions have had at Medler Field or the Bronno Park, really, you know, we are thrilled to death that the job that Rob Cooper and his staff have done with the Nittany Lion baseball team. But that's the thing. The mutually beneficial aspects of it are both teams get to enjoy these fantastic facilities. Both teams, you know, you get guys who have been at Penn State and then have progressed on to the Spikes. And seeing that, you know, throughout the years, guys like Gary Amato, Matt Cavagnaro, going from a Penn State uniform to a Spikes uniform, really, it's a thrill to see. And then you have other Penn State guys who come in and play against the Spikes at Medler Field or the Bronno Park. So really putting together that transition point, saying that, hey, not only is this a state-of-the-art facility when you're Penn State, it's also a professional facility, and you'll learn the professional way. And the amount of guys now that are entering college baseball that want to move up to the next level, I think when you have that and you can tell recruits that, you can show recruits all of the things that await them if they should come to Penn State, and the great facilities that are there, the State College Spike success at the field as well, they start to get a sense of what it means to play in State College, whether it be for Penn State or hopefully later on down the line for the Spikes.
There are several different promotions, Joe, that happen. Of course, the Spikes, as an example, have daily value promotions that happen no matter what the additional promotion happens to be. Part of it over the years, there have been times where celebrity appearances have happened. Uh-huh. Last year, of course, Alfonso Ribeiro came in and was outstanding. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air night, wore the jerseys, the whole deal. There'll be another one coming up this weekend with Corey Feldman. How does that happen, Joe? And explain what his schedule is going to be like.
Well, Corey Feldman will be in on Sunday. That'll be a 6:05 game against the Batavia Muck Dogs. But again, it's along the same lines as what happened with Alfonso Ribeiro, Carlton from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air last year. Basically, you know, we reach out and there are certain celebrities, certain folks that make themselves available. And certainly there are different possibilities depending on certainly how much you're willing to pay. And some celebrities, I will say, demand a fee that is perhaps out of line with their actual startup. But nevertheless, Corey Feldman, I think, is a great get. Of course, a star of a string of 80s blockbusters. You remember him from Gremlins. You remember him from Stand By Me, The Burbs, The Goonies, of course. And, you know, just a string of films throughout the 80s and 90s, one half of the two Coreys. I think fans, you know, especially, you might be a little older and have that sort of nostalgia for those kinds of films, but you know, you see a Corey Feldman film now all the time on cable television. He'll pop up and you'll see the name, and I think kids today, too, are going to say, you know what, I remember this movie, I remember him, and they'll come on by. He'll be available for autographs during a selected time during the game, meeting and greeting fans. And he'll throw out a ceremonial first pitch. You and I will get the chance to talk to him before the game as well. Really, it's going to be a fun night. And that's the great thing about these celebrities that have come into Medler Field, Lebrano Park, not just this year, but in years past. They always have such a great time here meeting fans. meeting fans in this area, and they have nothing but great things to say afterwards about the folks here in State College, in Central Pennsylvania as well. And certainly I know a lot of our fans are excited to see him. I know one's in studio with me right now. And having Corey Feldman, having celebrities at the ballpark is just another way for us to increase the enjoyment level for fans. And certainly this Sunday when Corey comes in, he'll be arriving, I believe, sometime earlier in the day. And then he'll head over to the ballpark closer to game time and be part of all the fun festivities. He's doing this a couple other places as well. So, you know, he's expecting to have a good time and to be able to give the fans a good time as well and give them some memories that hopefully will last for a long time also.
And sometimes things that we take for granted we don't realize, because we were talking, you and I, with Jason Dombach, and they brought in Dave Coulier from Full House, and they decided in Frisco, Texas, to have Full House night. And everybody looked at him and said, what an awesome idea. And the fans were, this is a great idea.
Yep.
And something that we looked around and said, well, you mean they haven't done that before?
Exactly. Well, and that's the great thing about, you know, minor league baseball, too, is that the ideas that are a success one place, I mean, there really isn't a whole lot that is truly original in minor league baseball. Fresh Prince night and the jersey boom now that's going on in minor league baseball, you know, it may have its start here, but certainly there have been themed jerseys beforehand as well. But the great thing is you can take something that fans love and enjoy and have seen for many years one place, take it to an entirely different place. I mean, there are things coming up not only this year but in future years that State College Spikes fans haven't seen before, and they're going to enjoy greatly, and at the same time, they've had great success elsewhere, and that's really part of the great, you know, being part of the minor league baseball ecosystem, getting together in the off season, sharing these ideas, and just being able to give fans, the fantastic experience they've come to expect at a Spikes game, and then to add a little more on top of that each year, each time out. It means that not only will the 10th season be fantastic, so will the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, and on down the line.
Joe, the ball club at State College is just coming off a six-game homestand. The final three games were against Tri-City, and each one of those three were above the season average in attendance. They have this three-game set with West Virginia. Then they're back home for a three-game series coming up Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Besides Corey Feldman, what does that three-game set look like?
Well, it's a jam-packed homestand. Saturday, first 1,000 fans get a Rowan Wick home run king poster giveaway. And it's ironic. I was talking about it after the game on Monday, the day game, with Casey Grayson, who, of course, now has a 22-game on-base streak for the Spikes. If he were to reach base successfully in all three games in West Virginia, he has a chance to tie Rowan Wick's franchise record for most consecutive games reaching base on Rowan Wick home run king poster giveaway night, which should be something to see. Also very special, Team Ream Day is coming up. That'll be part of the activities this weekend as we help out Team Ream and the fight against cancer. Also got on Sunday, in addition to Corey Feldman's appearance, you've got fireworks after the game and first 1,000 fans on Sunday. Gates open up at 5 on Sunday. Get the championship flag giveaway, New York Penn League championship flag. And you know, I looked at it before and I was like, you know what, this will be nice, you know, fans will be able to wave it around with their hands. No, these are legit full-size flags. You got to put them on a flagpole in order to be able to wave them around. You will have to use your full reach to be able to show them in front of you. Here they are, full-size flags, and they'll be given away again to the first 1,000 fans Sunday, and then it all caps off with the value of Buck Night on Monday. So a three-game series against the Batavia Muck Dogs, the Miami Marlins affiliate. Great jam-packed schedule of events, as are each and every week, as you see each and every weekend at Medler Field at Lebrano Park when the Spikes are in town.
You and I are lucky we get to do what we do. What is still enjoyable about the job to you every day?
Every game is different. I mean, you know this as well. Every game, as you've said many times, tells its own story. You know, every day is different. There really is no such thing as a normal day in minor league baseball with the State College Spikes. You know, one day could you could have a youth clinic, the next day you'll have scout night, the next day you'll have a brand new set of activities to present to fans. So every day is different. Every day presents its own challenges, but at the end of the night, every day presents its own rewards as well. And I think that's really something that I look forward to every day, is just the challenges and the rewards that come from knowing that your day tomorrow will not be the same as it was the day prior.
Joe, thanks a lot for coming in. Appreciate the time very much. Can't wait to see you and work with you on Saturday night.
Absolutely, Steve. Have fun down there in Morgantown. Hopefully they aren't throwing things at you as they have in the past when you visited.
Yes, one of the promotions down here, Joe, is Steve Jones' Target Night. Feeling the love everywhere we go.
2 weeks, Joe Putnam Target Night.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's really great. I saw the targets in the storage room. I have to admit, you know, you're really smiling nicely on yours.
Well, good. They got the likeness right. That's a good thing.
That's all that matters in the end. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
Joe Putnam, coming up next half hour, Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated. You can talk recruiting anytime, and we're going to do that. That's what you do on the slowest sports day of the year. You talk recruiting, because guess what? It draws people in. On News Radio 1070, WKOK.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
West Virginia, Mountain Mama, take me home, country road, all my memories.
That's great. Okay, we welcome everyone back to Morgantown. I haven't been here in 23 years. The last time I was here was a Penn State football game in 1992. Penn State won it. Like they have almost all the other football games down here. From 1955 to 1992, do you know how many times West Virginia beat Penn State in football?
Three.
Twice.
Oh, it was close.
Nope, two times. 1984 and 1988. And I'll never forget trying to do the post-game show on the radio network with Joe after the 84 game, because they stormed out of the stands. They hadn't beaten Penn State since 1955. And they storm out of the stands. I think it looked like they were storming the Bastille. And so I kind of get out of the melee and work my way over, because I do the post-game show with them on the radio network. Well, they didn't have a media room back then. So Joe and I went into the back of the equipment truck, like in the back of the trailer of the equipment truck. And that's where we did the post-game show. And they started taking the trailer and rocking it back and forth, and the two of us are hanging on in the back. Fond memories, lots of them. Stories, thousands. Ryan Snyder,